One big question that I think I started to tackle when I was probably 13, 12, around that time was why people become religious? Why not just live and die? Because in appearance, that's how it seemed to happen to everybody. And another thing that I was curious to understand, I think I was in probably college times, 1920, was why people want to have a lot more than they can ever spend. Yeah. Or another one was kind of next to us, why people want to control other people, even if they are not in control of themselves. Out of all this curiosity, one step and another, I'm here, and I'm still trying to find the answers at the most of times. Obviously, to look at me, I am not really in fully control of myself yet. I have to confess. Sometimes I lose. And sometimes, a lot of times, I feel very comfortable that things are going the way that I wish it go. I'm talking about just myself. So, even in my wildest dreams, I don't want to control any other human being. That's my true desire in my heart. That is, I don't want to be in control. Funny thing is, if you become a minister, there's really interesting demand and expectation. Anyway, so why do we want those things? So in Isaiah is such an interesting man. He was called precisely in the time when the northern kingdom was about to be destroyed and was destroyed. He saw that all, with the huge Assyrian army coming in. And actually, they also attacked the southern kingdom. And some historians arguably insist that Israel as an independent kingdom died as the northern kingdom was destroyed. Because southern kingdom, Judah, survived, but as only a vessel, sending huge contributions to the powers that control each year. So Isaiah somehow saw the total collapse of this promise, expectation. You know, a total disaster that was coming upon the people called the people of God. And it was all the way downhill in his entire life. In a way, that's probably why if you read Isaiah, there are so many elements that somehow portrays that on that day, everything will be fine again. But not by the work of human, but by the power of God. This is a hopeful message and vision, but at the same time, in my understanding, it supports a great deal of very predestination style of fundamental belief. Humans always messing up. We're not really good at creating anything good. Very pessimistic. Only God, who is good, can make everything good again. So on that day, finally, God, who gave up, in a way, hope that human beings can make it better, God will just do it. There is certain aspect in these passages. Swedenborg's aspects is actually not agreeing with that 100%. Or sometimes disagreeing with it 100%. We are the agents. We are the instrument that makes God's creative power actual and real in the physical world. Therefore, decisions we make is very, very important. In other words, with all due respect, a good creator wishes heaven on earth. We reject it, not going to happen. So, question to you is, what do you want? Well, adding one more word, what do you really want? Let's think about that one. So, you found your answer? Good. It's yet one thing I found in me is that what I really want seemed to change. I can share with you, before I entered seminary and after I entered seminary, what I really want changed big time. And before I got married and after I got married, what I really want changed for big time again. And then before I became a father and after I became a father, it seemed to be changing again. So I can't really say what I really want right now will be permanent in one context. Or as a human being who is actually a dualistic being, whose presence and being dwells in both spiritual and physical at the same time, shall we just have one thing? That's another question. I'm just giving it to you for you to think about. Because I seem to have two things I really want at the most. They're not exactly the same. One's less changeable. The other is changing all the time. One thing I had was more inward desire, I would say. It's quite staying the same since I was 18 years old. I think it hasn't changed much. The other one I attach more to my person as the way you're looking at me. It's been changing quite many times based upon what happened to me and how my life goes. So, reading Isaiah and reading a bit of history, I'm getting little understanding that it has been very important and still is very important how humans think and what humans want to make it happen. In other words, what we really want to have it matters for big time. It is arguable, but personally, when I read Old Testament seriously, what God is really trying to do is inspire humans to think differently. God never, in a way, changed their thoughts, like coming in overnight and making an evil person to be good. God never does that somehow. Well, there is like really big, huge forces happening, like story of Egypt, 10 disasters, so Pharaoh cannot refuse but let them go. But God never come into Pharaoh's mind and just turn it. Why not? There is something about we have to maintain this freedom of choice The choice has to be made by the human. And if you come to the New Testament, in John especially, the whole world was created by the Word. A word is expression of thoughts. Thought comes from the intention. So if we're saying the Word is actually outmost, the most visible expression of the intention of the being. And that's where I want to come back to today's reading. Peter. Jesus came, happened, lived, taught, died, resurrected, and ascended. Two things that I constantly read in the whole Acts and letters in the life of first Christians is that, as one, that they fully believe in something that is very idealistic. In a way, love that is expressed in the agape. It's very selfless, loving, sharing, giving. On the other hand, they also are in the way of somehow constant danger of misunderstanding the core of the message of Jesus. It happens almost at the same time, and I think it happens to us too. Whenever I read Swedenborgian history, which we have about 250 years of history, kind of see that. There is this idealistic approach about how we can apply this very intellectual, spiritual message. But yet, there's a constant misunderstanding about what Swedenborg might really want us to understand. And my take for this is inevitable. It comes with who we are. We're born into ignorance, into the world that is physically oriented. We have to all start from scratches, making all kinds of mistakes and misunderstandings. And so that's whenever I read this, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's a chapter about love, but the part I like it the most is, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up all childish ways. Then I see in mirror dimly. Now I see clear face to face. So I was asking a question about what does it mean to be a Christian? What is it? So far, an answer that I found is to sign up to be a Christian. You're making a conscious choice. It's not about your membership. It had no regard whatsoever about any human-made documentation or even dogmas, actually. To me, essentially, what we are saying, I want to be a Christian, or I am a Christian, you want to make a choice that you are a being that has a potential to be much higher than just a human. And to a degree that one day, all these human matters will become just minor details to you. Why? Because you will become a being purer and higher than these. And Peter, in my mind, shows some examples for that. This is such a random event. He was walking with John one morning, one afternoon, actually. And saw this man begging for food. But if you really look into this scene, think about it this way. If you're born in 2,000 years ago in Judea, if you're a man and you're lame, your life has been a burden to your family as soon as you're born. Honestly, you might regret you didn't die as a child even. And yet you grow up to be a man. The only way you can survive is sitting at a gate and begging for food. What kind of life might have been? Now, suddenly, two men passes by and say, "Look at us." A very funny way of approaching, actually. What Peter did was not just randomly grabbing the hand and saying, "Get up." What he was saying was, he said, "Two men looked at us." The man looked at him intently. But there's a very intentional contact made between those two. Of course, the man was expecting that, "Well, is he going to give me some money?" And Peter says, "I have no gold or silver." Oh, what a disappointment, right? I mean, seriously, what a disappointment. And then he even said something even that's even crazier, saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Like, what? Peter didn't stop there. He actually approached to him, grabbed the right arm, and lift him up. Well, it is certainly arguable such a thing might have happened or not. That's not my concern, actually. I just love this story, the way it is written. First, he made a contact, a clear, intentional contact, sharing eye contact with this person. See? And grabbing full attention and giving full attention to the person. Second, he's clear about what he can do and he cannot do. And he didn't say that, "I'm going to cure you." Somehow, it is a statement of faith that Peter was having. That's what I'm amazed about. How could this man be like this, if you remember Peter before? The Peter who ran away?
Yeah.
Who denied? Peter who was a fisherman? Had no idea? Now, he's in full belief about something, and he's willing to say this, not only that, reach out and lift him up, believing fully it'll happen. Which happened. So, I was laying out possible cornerstones of being a Christian. Being a Christian sometimes means a joke these days. To some people, this is, you want to be crazy, or you want to be superficial, or non-logical, irrational, non-scientific. You can go all on and on and on. But to me, besides that, your acceptance, willingness that you are born, created, destined to be a higher, purer being than just a mere human, this is another one. You are willing to let your heart to be open and let it be moved by God and follow it and believe it. And it'll happen. And in all this, human intention, human thought, human word matters, isn't it? Even if God pours into our heart 1,000 tons of love, we just all ignore and reject it, not a single loving action might come out of that body. But what it matters is when we pay attention to it more, when we actually believe it. And later, we are actually willing to go with it. And miracle happens. So this is why this message is so beautiful to me. And it inspires me. And I have researched it, and yes, there definitely some scholars are saying, how do you know that it really happened? Who knows? But this story also is intentionally written to show how this leader of the new religion will be called Christians is kind of rising, emerging. Peter, having his faith, to me, just amazing. So, I'll ask you again. What do you really want as a Christian? Looking around the world, it disturbs me every single day, if not every single second. Checking out news, what's happening in Afghanistan, Ukraine, Africa, North Korea, I know what's happening there. It's not even the news, but it saddens, it hurts. It sometimes makes me wonder again, do we really have a gracious, loving God? Yes, it comes to me too. But then, when I deeply pray, the message I receive is, it's in our hands. It has been that way. And it will be that way. So, what would you like to do as a Christian? Is my final question to you. May God bless you all in loving and doing your love to one another. Amen.
Amen.